good information, you want some great analysis, you go to guys from Pro Football Focus, and in particular, Trevor Sikkema. He joins us right now. Hello, Trevor.
Hey, Trevor.
Hey, guys. How we doing? I appreciate you having me.
Good, yeah, thanks. We appreciate you being with us today. Which one's a bigger surprise, the Browns at 1-3 or the Commanders playing really well at 3-1?
Wow, good question. I honestly think it's the Browns side of things. This is a team that, you know, they've got a previous coach of the year winner in Kevin Stefanski, and obviously, you know, you weren't exactly sure what you were going to get out of this team and Deshaun Watson going into the year, but you figured the floor of this team was going to be much higher than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. I get it. You know, you built a lot of your offense, certainly your rushing attack around Nick Chubb. Now you don't have that caliber of running back, but I mean, still, the offensive line has just played much worse than I thought that they were going to. And the defense, we're fine. It's been a little bit more of a roller coaster, a little bit more up and down again than I thought that it would be as a group and as a whole. Because when we've looked at previewing this Browns team, I would say before each of the last, you know, three seasons, you look at this team on paper and you go, man, this is a strong team. Not that it's perfect, but there's a really good roster. There's some star power here on both sides of the ball, and you feel good about both the trenches, certainly. And it maybe wasn't as strong this year as it has been in the past, you know, knowing what was a little bit more disappointing from 2023. But a 1-3 start, especially how it looked out of the gate for this team, I am more surprised by. I figured that the Washington Commanders were going to be better than what people were expecting them to be. And I think that that's because I'm a bit of a Dan Quinn apologist. I think that he's a really dang good head coach. I thought that when he was with the Atlanta Falcons, even when they were struggling, you could tell that players loved to play for this guy and they never wanted to give up. And I think you saw them play to their best potential in Dallas's defense as well. So I was excited about Washington. I felt like they could be a sneaky wild card type of a team this year, although realistically, I felt like they'd maybe fall a game or two short. But them playing well, thinking that Jaden Daniels is kind of caught on fire here, that's not as much as a surprise to me as how low it feels the floor is for the Browns through the first four weeks, of the season.
Trevor, I want to feel like the Browns are like really bad, and then I start looking at other stats from around the league, and I'm wondering, you know, like the Browns can't get to 20 points, and I was just looking at that, and we were talking, it was yesterday. We were talking to Sal Palantonio, and he was throwing some numbers up, and I just want your reaction to this, that, you know, we're 1 month into the season, and we're talking about games being super tight. Like, eight games have been decided by 8 points 39 times, 7 points 38, and 6 points 32, and that's the least that we've seen in years, actually, just looking at that number, I'm just saying these games are super tight, and the Browns have been in three super tight games.
Yeah, no, and I think it goes into, you know, the grander conversation that a lot of people have been having, certainly over the last couple of weeks, is that defenses are sort of starting to fight back, right? I would say 3-4 years ago, especially, you were seeing offenses put up all sorts of points, and especially explosives, right? Maybe, I don't know off the top of my head if maybe the total points scored averages were higher, but offensive efficiency and especially offensive explosiveness was really high around the league three or four years ago. And we know that it's always a cyclical league. They tell us that it comes through cycles, you know, in one era, you know, maybe 5 to 10 year stretch, offenses are dominating, and then defenses will be able to adjust. I feel like we're starting to see defenses really, really come into their own to adjust for some of these explosive offenses and what they want to do. And, you know, these guys who come from college systems where they're really just looking to chuck it deep. You know, you're stretching out things horizontally at the line of scrimmage to really spread things out. And you get a lot of one-on-one matchups. So you put defenders into these pinch points, if you will, where you're basically reading one guy and you're throwing it high or low, or you're throwing it at a certain time. And I think defensive coordinators in the NFL, they're really starting to figure out with a lot of these two high shells, some of these deeper quarter coverages, you know, what they're doing with sim pressures and how they are bringing pressure on the pocket into these quarterbacks. Like, they seem to be in a groove right now. So you're right, kind of what Cleveland is going through as a team that's playing a lot of one-score games, that's not that unfamiliar with the rest of the league. Even some of the best quarterbacks and offenses in the NFL, it's not like they're sitting here scoring 30-plus, 40-plus every game. Those games are, it feels like, few and far between. So, you know, thankfully for the Browns, again, you know, it's not like the league's in a state where they're one of the worst teams out there. But again, this kind of goes into my disappointment of this team. I would have felt like the floor was higher to really be a team that could come out on top with these tight matches. And we just have not seen that so far this year with them.
Trevor Sickema joining us from Pro Football Focus. Trevor is the lead NFL draft analyst there. With that thought in mind, Trevor, the Browns have made three trades for wide receivers. They picked up Amari Cooper. That certainly worked. They've picked up Jerry Jeudy. Looks okay so far, early returns, but haven't seen anything great. Elijah Moore has not worked out so well as of yet. But they've used three third-round draft choices on wide receivers: Anthony Schwartz, David Bell, Cedric Tillman. How have they, at least as of now, missed on all three of those guys? Or missed on the idea of adding a wide receiver in the draft who can really help?
Right. You know, when you look at it, you say to yourself, on one side, you could go like, well, they're third round picks, not really first round picks. But we do see wide receivers, big time contributors for teams drafted anywhere after round one. And so it's not like you can really use that as too much of an excuse there for them. You know, unfortunately, when I look at those three guys, I was skeptical on two out of the three coming into the league. And so them kind of fizzling out, not really being able to be focal points of a passing attack isn't really shocking to me. Anthony Schwartz was kind of just a one-trick pony, right? I mean, world-class speed, but such a small player, such a slender player that it was always going to be really tough for him to have a role that wasn't just, hey, we're going to put him on the field, hope the defense forgets about him deep, and we're going to hit a deep shot for him. So outside of that, I didn't really see a ton of value with him, even when I was watching his Auburn tape. David Bell, kind of this player that, when you watched him and when you saw what he was able to do at Purdue, and you get his background in high school football as well, like, he was truly a do-it-all player. I mean, he had a ton of statistics, especially back in high school. He was an incredible high school football player. But then, you know, you just watch the Purdue tape, and even though some of the numbers, the raw statistics, the overall volume was there, when I watched him, I just didn't see an NFL athlete. And so, again, I thought he was overdrafted where he was. Now, Cedric Tillman, I do have some faith in. Like, I think that he could be a really nice contested catch type of a receiver for you. You know, he's somebody who, depending on how this wide receiver room looks next year, I feel as though he could step into one of those full-time starting spots. And I genuinely believe that he could be a good wide receiver for this team. But there's no doubt about it that, like, you need to be better at wide receiver, because these receiver classes, they're too deep, they're too talented for you to miss consistently again and again, even in the mid rounds. You've got to get better production out of that. We see it across the league too many times throughout the year. And so, yeah, I think that is also a point of why this team hasn't progressed in the passing game, is because they just haven't picked the right guys at receiver.
Trevor, obviously your forte is the draft, as well as, you know, just covering the NFL. And, you know, we've had spent a lot of years here covering the draft, and since we haven't had a first-round pick in a while, it's been, you know, kind of lame over the last couple of years. If the Browns go 1-4, should we go from 92-3 the fan to 92-3 the draft? At what point do we start focusing on the draft around here?
Well, any point in time, if you guys want to turn the page to the draft, PFF, it's up and running. I've been working on that bad boy since the summer, so I got you guys when that happens. But, no, I think that it's a decent class, especially for what the Browns team needs might be. You know, you look at their offensive tackle spots, and, you know, Conklin's been hurt, and Jones has been struggling, and Wills is on the last year of his deal. We don't really know what the future holds for them, so I think offensive tackle could certainly be in play for them in the first round. You got guys like Will Campbell from LSU, Kevin Banks Jr. from Texas, Ariante Ursary from Minnesota. These are three players who I think can be top 20 caliber types of offensive tackle picks if you really need to focus in on that offensive line and make sure that's a strength for you moving forward like it has been in the past. You know, wide receiver, obviously, like I said, every year is a really good year to need a wide receiver. And so I think that's something that there will be no shortage of there. You know, depending on what happens with that wide receiver group, I know they just traded and paid for Jeudy, but what happens around him, certainly, if they need to make a big splash there, again, I think that it is worthwhile for them to do so. And I like that the Browns are now in first-round mock drafts, because it feels like, you're right, for so many years,
it's home.
At least a couple of years there, it was like, oh, I was doing a mock draft, and then it's like, oh, okay, I technically have to do one pick in the second round or the third round because I don't want to leave Cleveland fans out. But now they're joining the party in the first round. Now you get to talk about some of these first-round guys, which can be exciting.
You're just welcoming us back to the party. We've been very, very good at doing our part as first-rounders.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think that, again, like, I'm just excited to do the first round thing again. I really am with Cleveland. And, for y'all's sake, for the fans' sake, I hope you're not turning the page into draft season too quickly. I hope they can turn around here at least to make it an entertaining season for you down the stretch. But again,
good
you know,
answer.
Whenever you need,
good answer.
Whenever you need to. Whenever you need to. The mock draft simulator at PFF is wide open for you.
Trevor, last thought. Trevor Sikkema joining us from Pro Football Focus. If Deshaun Watson continues to play as he's played the first four games, whatever that might be, so there have been some ups, there have been some downs. If that's the way this goes for the rest of this season, what should the Browns do at quarterback at the end of the year?
I honestly think you got to draft one. I really do. Like he just now this past week was the best game that he has played in what, a year and a half at the very least, maybe the best game that he's played in a Browns uniform. And so if you want to say, hey, he's best foot forward, and if you know, if you're just looking back at the last game that he played, maybe there's reason to believe that, hey, you don't have to move on from him. Because, like, obviously, contractually, you don't want to. We're sitting here thinking that you might have to bench a fully guaranteed guy that's got one of the most uncuttable, untradeable deals that the NFL has ever seen. And so you don't want to be in a position where you have to do that. But simply put, I mean, the first 3 weeks of the season, he was a reason why they were not able to win. Now, he put them in position to do so last week. And so, again, it was a little bit different. And I think that certainly for your investment sake that you're hoping it turns around. But to me, if Deshaun continues to play poorly to the point where he is clearly a reason why this team is being held back, you have to draft one, in my opinion, because you already have the money tied up in him as the quarterback. You then need to get a quarterback on a cap-friendly, you know, deal as a rookie where you can get 4 or 5 years out of a cap-controlled rookie contract, and you have to let this thing be an open competition, and you've got to be able to say, hey, we made the wrong decision, but we can't just stick with this for the next 2 years if we know for sure it's not going to work out, because there's too much evidence now mounting that he is not the quarterback that you traded for, that you paid all that money to, that you saw in Houston. There's too much evidence to the contrary. So unless he really turns it around, you cannot go into next year with him as your quarterback in his current state.
Trevor, thank you.
Thanks,
we appreciate
man.
Your time. You can follow Trevor on the X at Tampa Bay Trey, at Tampa Bay Trey, T-R-E. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Trevor.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus. Okay, so earlier in the show, Nick Costa said, two games, you bench him. Trevor just said, end of the year, still the same thing. You got to draft one. Yikes. Stay tuned for Sunday against the Commanders. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan. You bench him and you play Jameis Winston.
And happening.
Andy and I both said, "Yeah, that's not gonna work," because we're closer to the situation, all of us here in Cleveland, and we can't imagine. And Daryl Ryder then agreed with us, though. But I thought it was interesting that from an outside perspective, Nick thought, "Boom, quarterback change," and Nick knows his stuff. He thought quarterback change.
Yeah,
we don't think the circumstances here are ripe for that. Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus was just with us. And I asked Trevor, what if Deshaun plays and judge the first four games however you want, say good, bad, indifferent, whatever. What if he plays that way the rest of this year? What do the Browns do at quarterback at the end of the year? And here's what Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus had to say.
If Deshaun continues to play poorly to the point where he is clearly a reason why this team is being held back, you have to draft one, in my opinion, because you already have the money tied up in him as the quarterback. You then need to get a quarterback on a cap-friendly, you know, deal as a rookie where you can get 4 or 5 years out of a cap-controlled rookie contract, and you have to let this thing be an open competition, and you've got to be able to say, hey, we made the wrong decision, but we can't just stick with this for the next 2 years if we know for sure it's not going to work out, because there's too much evidence now mounting that he is not the quarterback that you traded for, that you paid all that money to, that you saw in Houston.
Agreed or disagreed?
Yeah, I might draft a quarterback even if he's playing well this year. I just the difference is what round you're going to draft a quarterback in. And what do you think about Dorian Thompson-Robinson? I mean, we haven't talked about him in forever.
No, we haven't.
And so, I mean, he's in play on this conversation too, right? So,
yes. I just, to me, when you draft a quarterback late in the draft, you are clearly thinking this and nothing more. Great. Young guy we can develop, and maybe we can turn him into our backup quarterback. And if you happen to get lucky and he becomes more than that, good for you. But I don't know if he factors into this conversation or not. Man, would I love for him to. That'd be great, Andy. If you already had who you think might be your quarterback of the future in place, I think that would be great.
I do think they want to give him the opportunity at some point. I just don't know if it's now, and maybe not. Maybe he had his opportunity last year, but, man, they threw him into the fire against the Ravens, so I don't know that that was a true opportunity. I'm drafting a quarterback next year from the Browns. I don't care. You know, it's just the question
what if
is.
You still have DTR and Jameis wants to come back at a reasonable contract? Because as we've seen, Miami, you better have a good backup quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. Depends. Do you think if you draft a quarterback, it's got to be a first, second rounder, a first rounder? If you're drafting a first round quarterback, you're saying that we're throwing the white flag on Deshaun Watson.
Well, if you draft somebody in the first round, Deshaun's clearly not your quarterback of the future.
No. Nope.
Even if you take a guy, let's say the Browns get the 20th pick in the draft. Even if you take him there, there's going to be clamoring for that guy to play.
Yeah, the whole point, though, is going back to the beginning, and it's like the Browns aren't walking away from Deshaun Watson. The only way he's not playing quarterback this year is if he's physically unable to.
Jim's in Strongsville. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Guys, maybe not after two games, but I can't disagree with you more that they're just not going to walk away from him. Listen, I get part of it, but when you start looking at the nuance of the salary cap, it's really not as detrimental as you guys said. I could forward you an article that goes through the whole thing. But the bottom line is, if you're going to do that, you're just going to keep putting the guy, and I'm not saying that he's going to, and I'm not saying that he has, but if you're going to continue to put a guy out there who's clearly the reason why they're not winning, you might as well trade every veteran off this team right now, because guess what? None of them are going to want to play for you. None of them are going to give it your all. You will lose every single one of those guys, and you might as well just say, okay, we're going to keep trotting Deshaun out there for the – that will bring back memories of 1-31, because that's exactly what you'll do if you keep trotting him out there the rest of this year.
Jim, did you think he played better? Did you think he played better last Sunday?
I did think he played better last Sunday.
Okay, that's all he needs to do is keep doing that. That's all he needs to do is keep doing that. Well, and that gives him enough reason to say, well, maybe we haven't seen enough.
Here's the problem. This roster is at a tipping point. I mean, this might actually be a year too late for this roster with the quarterback in place. So I'm sorry, almost no matter how Deshaun plays, I'm probably taking, depending where I'm picking next year, I'm probably taking a quarterback with that number one pick if there is a guy out there worthy of that pick. Because this thing, you're almost looking at a time when you got to recycle this thing, and you got to ask yourself, am I going to go back to this cycle with Deshaun Watson, an okay, getting better maybe guy, or are you going to go ahead and take your chances and roll the dice and try to get a franchise guy? I just think it's the timeline of the franchise where the roster is right now.
Jim, I think at the end of the year, if he hasn't shown glimpses, a lot of them, of the guy that he was in Houston, I think they move on. I don't even know if just drafting a quarterback, and that might mean they think Jameis is the guy. It might mean, as Andy threw up, maybe they like DTR enough that he's the guy. But I honestly think this year is the judging point. If it hasn't worked, I don't see him taking him into a year four. And I know how penalty ridden this thing could be if they move on from him. But still,
Let me throw this last point out, Jim.
White flag out now and saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very fine line between throwing in the white flag. You know?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, Jim. I mean, the league may throw the white flag in for us. I mean, we've been quiet about this latest lawsuit. No one said a word about it in the last 2 weeks. It's still there.
Would you guys buy into the conspiracy that the league's taking their sweet old time with this because they're not looking to do the Browns any favors?
I'll be honest with you. I think they're doing their average sweet old time on a lot of this stuff. I mean, think about it. I mean, there have been times where, like, man, I wish they would make a decision. I wish they would make a decision. Although I do think would you be shocked if you heard an owner called Roger and said, hey, man, take your time on that. Look what the Browns did to the scale,
Jim,
of these quarterbacks that we now have to pay all this money up front. You got to believe that there's ownership around the league that's calling Roger saying, take your time, man. Take your time. That dumpster's on fire.
And it cost all of us a lot of money.
Yeah, and that they don't want to help they don't want to help the Browns put the dumpster out.
Big news from Alex Wright, and he's the one who posted it, and it's already all over the place now. Usually when a guy says he's having season-ending surgery, you buy it, so
yeah.
Let's buy it. A guy that I was really looking forward to seeing take yet another step this year is out for the season with a tricep injury. announced on his own Instagram, out, torn triceps.
Ouch.
He's only 24. He's looked like a guy, Andy, who could move in and become a starter on that defensive line. And now that obviously isn't going to happen this year. How bad is that? You'll be getting Mike Hall Jr. back, but Mike plays in the middle. Alex mainly plays, you know, on the edge as right. a 6'5 guy. But you are getting a guy back. You know, what are you going to do? Miles Tomlinson, Harris, and Zadarius. You're pretty good across the front.
Except for the fact that Miles seems like he's on a pitch count right now.
Well, imagine if Miles has some issues here.
Yeah, they still have Isaiah McGuire, too, so don't forget about him.
Well, and Oboe's questionable this week.
Ugh.
They're a little beat up on both lines right now.
And the ends, especially, right? If you take Alex Wright out.
I wonder if you're looking, you know, to do something there. You're going to bring in somebody else? I don't know. What are you going to do?
Should they do it today? If you're going to bring somebody else in, you better do it today. I mean, normally you're looking at Tuesdays to do that if you're lucky, if you can play the timing game right. But, man, the injuries are just devastating this team right now. Just devastating.
I don't think that it's anything that's specific to the Browns, but it sure feels that way. You know what I mean?
They're on the heavy end of an injury report when you go through the league and look at all the injury reports. We seem to be 2, 3, 4 guys more than other teams. At least it's just glancing through it really quick. You also have Juwan Briggs, too.
They got a lot of guys. They got a lot of injured guys right now. I just wonder. You know, you brought back Siaki Ika, but he's playing tackle.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do on that edge?
Maybe go find another guy. Getting Mike Hall is going to help. There's no question.
Well, overall depth on the line, I think, without question. Yeah. And so we'll see. That's after another week. But here you've got a team that is in desperate need of a win.
They're just in desperate need of good news, right?
In desperate need of health.
Yeah.
And you get another bad bit of health news today.
I mean, the only thing that's, you know, having Nick Chubb back at least to be able to practice has been like the one bright light of this whole week. They need to get back on the field, but they need to win. I don't know. This is a weird week. This is one of those weeks where you're like, I think Washington's going to win. I think Washington's going to do this. And then, you know, those games you're not supposed to win? This could be one of those games. I hope. I think having Njoku back is going to be a tremendous help for the offensive line.
Well, you know, the thing I keep thinking about is this. I think they should have won against the Giants. I think they should have won last week against the Raiders. I have no doubt that they can go to Washington and win a game. I don't know that I would pick them to win this game, but I think the Browns are still a pretty good football team, even though they've looked like anything but Andy through the first four games.
They've shown glimpses.
Well, I'm curious.
I mean, those opening drives have been spectacular.
I'm curious to see what the offense can do. And I think it's better than 15, 16, 17, or 18 points.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's not, then they have to do some thinking, and they have to do it fast. You go to 1-4, sorry, you're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to shake some things up if you happen to lose this game and go to 1-4. I mean, just rolling the same thing out against Philadelphia won't get her done. Do you think? I mean, I don't know what the answer is there, but you know, you've played. If you happen to lose to Washington, and you go to 1-4, you're going to roll the same thing out that lost you 4 out of the first 5 games.
I don't know how you can.
I don't either. And whether that means a change, forgive me, in who calls the plays, even though I don't think that's Kevin's. I don't think Kevin is a good play caller. If it means, okay, you put Dorsey upstairs instead of down on the field, but you know he's supposed to be talking to the quarterbacks. Does it mean you big personnel changes? I don't know where you can do that unless you make some trades and you know put somebody else at wide receiver. Everything else seems like you're pretty locked in position-wise on that offense.
That offense has got to get moving in the second, third quarter. I'm just looking at points, and I think they have, 16 points in 4 games through the second and third quarters. They just – whatever's happening on that second drive or the adjustments the other teams are making or the lack of being able to move the ball, I mean, if you really want to dissect it, they've got to start scoring points there. I mean, you can't go lame in the second quarter. You can't go lame in the third quarter. They have got to figure out a way to get the offense to be consistent past that first drive. Oh, brutal.
It's Baskin and Phillips here on The Fan.